Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, this is Sister Judith, know that God is in the miracle working business. And regardless of what battles, what trials, what problems you may have today, God has an answer. He's here to strengthen you. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to gather together. We do this every day at the same time, Monday through Friday, or perhaps at a source of greater convenience, maybe the internet, at our website, unveilchrist.org. But I'm glad you joined me today, because in all the trials and troubles and battles we go through, perhaps there's no key ingredient as important as joy. Believe it or not, to go through battles and trials with the joy of the Lord, It's I'm just thinking of some personal issues I've gone through today where I am able nonetheless to be able to rejoice. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, a sign of my own growth and maturity in Christ. And God wants to bring all of us into that place that we can rejoice, that we can hear the immortal words of the Apostle Paul. He went through so much, and he was able to be content in all situations, in all things. And what we'll pray in just a moment. But if you're just joining me, last week we began a message, God's call to His church. And as I was praying for those who would be listening, we are in warfare. There's no question of that. Yet there are two specific areas that I see the enemy working. Some of you have just really desired to grow in God. You've really been seeking God. You feel like you've kind of been at a spiritual stalemate, and there's just a hunger in your heart for more of God. And there are others, and maybe simultaneously, that could apply to both, that God has placed something on your heart. And I want you to understand, beloved, God will speak to you in very specific ways. And if He places something on your heart, it doesn't mean that you just run right out and start accomplishing it or doing it unless He urges urgency. But there's a period of waiting on Him, that God has a time and a season for all things in our lives. And so if you are in process right now of stepping out, and you may consider it a very small thing. You know, sometimes I think the very small things that we do in the name of the Lord, we will not have any full appreciation of the magnitude and the effect, the ripple effect sometimes it has on lives, until we're with the Lord. The amazing thing is that sometimes we may be only aware of God doing one thing, but He has, and I've always said this, multifaceted purposes that sometimes we can't even see. We have to walk by faith, and occasionally, as it serves His purposes, He will unveil and we'll begin to say, oh, wow, He was doing that as well. And so let's pray. Father, right now, there are those that You have brought to listen to this message, that we are in warfare. We are doing a good work for You, Lord. We're desiring to grow in the knowledge of God. We want to be like Jesus. And regardless of our station in life, regardless, you know, in our own estimation, we feel that what we have to contribute might be very small. Yet, Lord, in Your divine plan, if we fail, if we do not respond, if we're not obedient to You, that can mean a domino effect in the lives of others. Lord, only You hold the master plan. You, who are beyond time, work within our time to be able to create things that are works of beauty. Lord, the psalmist prayed, establish thou the work of my hands, and the work of my hands, yea, establish thou it. Lord, we desire to see you glorified. And Father, I pray now for those who are under siege, under battle, that you will give them the spirit of an overcomer, of a conqueror, of joy in the midst of the testing, that they will know that you are with them, that you're going to fight for them. If you would have them stand still and see the salvation of their God, Lord, or whether you would have them move forward dramatically, Lord, I pray for a spirit of wisdom, the spirit of discernment. They would know exactly what you would have them to do for this time in their life. In Jesus' name, I praise you and I thank you for it. Well, I believe the reason God put this message on my heart, we've been looking all last week at the book of Nehemiah, just the early chapters. We're finding that God, this godly man who was cupbearer to the king, as he heard the news of where his brethren were at in the city of Jerusalem, God began to deal with him. And perhaps a period of 4 months elapsed where he was praying and seeking God and fasting. And then when the time came, he spoke to the king. God's amazingly, this is a heathen king, God's amazing favor was upon him. A door was opened and he went back. And there's some amazing, important lessons that we can learn. So often we think, well, you know, that's the Old Testament. And in fact, I've been in places where they just, you know, just focus on the epistles, just focus on what God did in the New Testament. Well, I'm here to tell you, beloved, the same God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. There, his character, his nature, his principles has never changed. With Jesus came the advent of grace, if you will, that it wasn't just the taskmaster, the schoolmaster that the law was to show that we couldn't do it in ourselves, but then Jesus came full of grace and truth and lived as man in a perfect condition without sin. And so he's paid the price. We are reconciled spiritually to our Father and now are in a process of growth into maturity. And so, but the character of God is the same. The nature of God is the same. His principles, spiritual dynamics are the same. And the enemy, that's one good thing we can learn. He doesn't change. He's a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. And so we've been learning some important lessons that Nehemiah experienced once he obeyed God and he arrived in Jerusalem. And in the second chapter, verse 10, we see that trouble was brewing when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. What? That he had come with letters from the king. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And so we then began to see in a series of well laid out attacks by the enemy. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There was an attack from without. We're always going to find opposition to whatever God has placed on your heart to do, or whether it's just to grow in him, and that's no small thing. As we grow in him, we become more faithful, more reliable, in a place of maturity that we can be an honest and a good representative of the gospel. And so as he waited on God, he surveyed, he took 3 nights to survey the situation, and then he called the rulers together in the second chapter, verses 17 through 18. And what do we see the enemy do raising up in the Sanballats and Tobias? First of all, there was ridicule in 2:19. When they heard, Sanballat and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard what they were planning on doing, because the elders agreed, they said, oh yeah, this sounds really good. They were encouraged that the king's words had spoke what he had spoken to Nehemiah, so they said, let us rise up and build. And of course, in that day, a wall around an ancient city was extremely important in terms of defense and sustaining it as far as protection. They were laughed to scorn. They despised them. And so when ridicule, that didn't faze them, they kept going. Heel came by his confidence in God. In 2:20 it said, Nehemiah answered them, the God of heaven, hear that word of faith, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. That's true of the enemy. Is it not right? He's made us, beloved, kings and priests unto our God. That's what it says. You can read it for yourself in that first chapter of Revelation. So it may appear that what we're doing now is just some small, insignificant work, but if we're faithful over the small things, he will make us ruler over many. If we're faithful, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And so the next attack of the enemy was anger, contempt. It got stronger because their first attempts didn't succeed. And so in Nehemiah 4:1-3, it says they were wroth, they took great indignation, they mocked the Jews. They said, well, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Sometimes it looks like an impossible situation. But Nehemiah had a vision from God. He knew God had spoken to him. And so did the elders. They were in unity. And so, you know, that, in fact, that very name, Sambalat, means strong. And so when wrath and contempt didn't work, then they tried conspiracy. We see that in chapter 4:7-8. It says, they conspired, all of them, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Well, beloved, there are so many lessons in spiritual warfare we can learn from this book. You may have just read this book, I know I have, and just saw it as sort of an interesting historical book for Israel, ancient Israel, but it is a battle plan for the times in which we are living, and you can find yourself in the very positions that Nehemiah did, whatever you are involved in. But not only do we see the problem, do we see the trials and attack, we have the answer, and what Nehemiah did as our example to have the victory, as he enjoyed victory in a remarkable time. Praise God. Well, my time is flown, and let me just close with a brief testimony. A brother listening from San Quentin, he said, I woke Friday night to hear your broadcast. It was good to hear your voice. So many things happening in the negative, and to hear the word after you've done all to stand therefore in your most holy faith for praying for all saints. Yes, that takes our eyes off of our situation and focuses our attention on the household of God. We're being ready to reign with Christ forever. Thank you for your commitment to prepare all of us in leading the way as you follow the Holy Spirit's lead. All is well with my soul. Well, until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.